word from the Lord for each of you this morning. And so if you can position yourselves right now, just stand to your feet if you would. Grab a hold of your Bible if you still carry one. If not, grab a hold of your phone. Whatever it is that you may use in the Word of God here this morning. Somebody say seasons. God takes us through different seasons. Right now, you all know what season we in, right? We in a holiday season right now, and some of you were quite busy on this past Friday. Y'all awfully quiet in this place. That was Black Friday. You know, I guess that's a big-time shopping holiday, and if you were and got you a good deal, bless God. Hope you did. But what we know about this year is that it's season, and that's notified by the weather, and things begin to change and things shift. And I'm setting this up because really what I'm talking to you about today is about a season. It's about a season because we're talking getting into a place both strategically, emotionally, mentally, and certainly physically where you've got to go and get stuff that belongs to you. You got to go and get some stuff that belongs to you. And I'm speaking more so in the spirit. Maybe some of you have had some things stolen in the natural, but I'm speaking more so in the spirit. And although she used these for the dance, I'm really going to keep them up there because it's just so apropos with health, marriage, finance, family. Many of you are going through strains as far as life is concerned. Maybe even some of those things have been stolen from you. And so it's going to be a warfare word. Amen? This is going to be a word that I believe that will supercharge you spiritually to get back on attack. Because what happens is when you get hit a little bit, you know, sometimes when you get hit with a few things in a year, then you kind of, you can tend to slow down a little bit. But I believe the Lord is telling each of you to get back in the fight. Amen? So let's start here with 1 Samuel 30. Thank you, Stephen. Let's start with 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. It says, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? I overtake them. And he for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all. Now, I got something for you here this morning, everybody, in that you going to get what has been stolen from you will not be a solo journey. Okay? Meaning you're going to go with somebody. You're going to take somebody with you. But you certainly want to take somebody with you who's willing to fight. I don't know about you. I'm not trying to go nowhere. It's not trying to fight. It's not going to be easy to get what has been stolen from you. It's going to take some warfare. Fight both spiritually and emotionally. And so before your seat, I want you to find three people, and I want you to look at them serious now and just tell them, send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. I need one. This is frustrating me. Ridiculous. Give me a hand. Bless your name, Lord. Send me, I'll go. Did you talk to the right person? Because in them telling you that, they told you that they were going to go on your behalf, that they were going to go into the battle with you and for you. Let me just show you how this works as a team. Somebody say team. You're going to hear me talking about team here a lot on this morning, is in the fact of how God strategically used David to capture what had been stolen from him. So we've got to back up in this particular text to kind of set where we're going in today's message.
In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, first of all, let me just ask by a show of hands, how many of you have had something stolen, I'm talking spiritually, something stolen from you here in 2019? Something stolen from you. You say, well, Pastor, exactly what you're talking about. Well, you know, hope can be stolen from you. Joy can be stolen from you. Watch this. Peace can be stolen from you. Ooh, my Lord. Peace. Like you're not sleeping well. If all of a sudden you've gone to a place where you can sleep well, now you're not sleeping well, that's called peace has been stolen. It's been attacked. Okay? Certainly that can happen in your finances. Some catastrophic event could have happened here in 2019, and you feel like you're trying to catch up. You're way behind. And God wants to give you peace in that area. God wants us whole, everybody. He don't want you to halfway falling apart. Oh, Lord, you know, as long as I can make it, God's, no. No, God wants you fully able and fully put together and ready to warfare on the kingdom's behalf. Amen? Why? Because you not only need to be strong for you, you need to be strong for the person next to you. Come on, right? That's why worship is contagious, everybody. Worship is contagious. Listen, we don't set this up as we do just by happenstance. Even as far as worship at the beginning of service, and you got folk up here worshiping and this, that, and the other. Yes, they love to worship. They love to praise, no question. But worship is contagious, everybody. Now, I don't need to have 50 people in the room for me to worship. Don't get it twisted. But what I'm saying is that when we are all worshiping together, come on, y'all, that does something in the spirit. It does something in the natural. It is energetic. It fulfills something. It flows something. It all works together, everybody, in what I'm talking about here this morning. So in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it says, now it happened when David and his men, say David, when they came to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites, this is that nemesis. The Amalekites are the nemesis of the Israelites, okay? So these are the ones that are always coming against. They're the Lex Luthor, the Superman, right? They're the kryptonite, the Superman. They're the one thing that's always coming. Some of y'all don't even know who Lex Luthor is. Y'all smiling at me. Some of y'all don't even know. You got to be at least probably, you might have to be 40 to know what Lex Luthor is, huh? At least. How many of y'all know who Lex Luthor is? Okay. I got the mature crowd in here today. And then others of you have Googled him. Y'all Googled him. So the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. Watch this. They didn't kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. Here it is. The Amalekites come in and they strip the camp. They burn Ziklag down. David and his troops have settled there in Ziklag. He's got his troops with him by the hundreds. Here it is, the Amalekites have come in. They've actually stolen everything. Not only have they stolen all the women, all the children, they burned the town down. David and his troops, they are messed up, jacked up, as they say, tore up from the floor up when they arrive here. Here it is, the women and the children have been taken. They've basically been enslaved. They've not been killed, but they've been enslaved. So David and his men, they come to the city, and there it was, it's burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters, they're gone. They've been taken captive. Then David and all the people who were with them, watch this, they lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been there, everybody? Have you ever felt just hopeless, lost? Have you ever been in a place where all you could do? You know, it's something about even weeping and wailing, because sometimes you get to a space in life, Lord knows I've been there, sometimes you get to a space in life where you can't even cry no more. Can't even cry no more. I mean, you just, there's such an angst, there's such a hurt, there's such a devastation. Here it is, they're wailing, everybody. They are wailing. And then this wailing, all of a sudden this thing begins to turn. Watch what the Bible says here. David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, have been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed. Why? Because the people spoke of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But what happened, everybody? But David strengthened himself in the Lord. When all else fails, when everybody's coming against you, when everybody has forsaken you, I think Psalm 27 talks about it. When my mother and my father forsake me, I must find myself in a place in God. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Here it is, David. Now, you all know David as a great warrior, and he is one of the greatest warriors the world has ever known. And here it is, because there have been things been stolen from some of David's men. Now, all of a sudden, everybody begins to turn on David. And wouldn't you know it, they actually threatened to kill David. Because believe you me, if they're talking about stoning David and they're by the hundreds, that stoning is going to lead to a murder. But the Bible says that instead of David yelling at them, instead of David saying, do y'all know what I've done for y'all? Do you know how much I've, if it wasn't for me, y'all wouldn't even be here. Do y'all know how many battles that I've won? Don't you know that I've beaten lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my. Yeah. Don't y'all know that? No. They, instead of doing all of that, let everybody in this place learn from David. Instead of doing all of that, the Bible says David, what? He strengthened himself. In whom? In the Lord. He went into a place of God. What did he do? Solitude and silence were two things that David went to. Solitude and silence. Why? Because when things get a little ratchet in life, when things start just going haywire in life, you've got to find a place in God that is a place of solitude, a place of silence. That's where every man, woman, and child should have a place that they can go in God and can hear from God. Because how many of you all know life can be full of distractions? Can be full of distractions, and stuff is always going on. Stuff is always, sometimes you get into seasons where season begins to go haywire. But then David, so he takes himself out of the crew and he strengthens himself in God. He doesn't go after those guys. He doesn't talk about them. He doesn't maim them. He doesn't speak negatively over them. I'm teaching now, everybody. He doesn't speak negatively over them, although they're coming after him. He strengthens himself in God. Here's what's very important is David's personal relationship with God is not based upon position or popularity. What I'm saying is that David has a relationship that is raw with God. It's a relationship. It's not, well, you know what, let me put on airs because God's got me in charge. Let me put on airs because I lead this or I lead that or I'm in charge of this or I'm in charge of that. No, David has a real get down to the ground, get dirty with God relationship that's based upon time spent. That has nothing to do with a Sunday service. Come on, y'all. Is there anybody in this place that's got a good old-fashioned relationship with Jesus? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting to a place where it's just you and God. That's why for David, and it is, that's why for David, it's easy to get away from them. It's easy. It's easy to retreat from all of this chaos. It's easy to get away from everything that's coming at me. Why? Because I've got a Savior I can go to. David then goes to God. He gets into that quiet place with the Lord. Few things that I know that David is inquiring, because there's a couple of things that happen in David's life. Number one is he's getting into the presence of God. Say presence. Exodus 33. Pop that on the screen for me real quick. Exodus 33. I'm going to start here with verse 13. There it is. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence, somebody say my presence, will go with you, and I will give you rest. That's so good. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Now, we know this is Moses speaking to the Lord. But what I love, Minister Brian, is Moses tells God, if your presence is not with me, don't send me. This is about we need the presence of God in every fashion of we've never needed the presence of God more than we need the presence of God now. Never. We need God involved in every portion of our lives. Number two, praise. Say praise. I believe that, yeah, the Bible is silent, but there's something that you get when you're with God. There's rarely a moment that I can retreat with God and I don't give him praise. Are y'all with me? There's rarely a moment that I don't retreat with God in my own personal prayer time that I'm not, yes, God, thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for the blessing of a home and just some of the creature comforts of life. Thank you for the blessing and covering the church. Yes, all of that. But even within that, everybody, there's a praise that I give to God. There's a praise that says, Father God, I just praise you for who you are. Listen, praise disconnects you from your issues and your problems. Pursuit and recovery. Pursuit and recovery. I'm laughing, everybody, because it's going to be an elephant in the room, and I ain't going to trip out, but there's a small bird in the building. It's all right. It's in the rooftop, everybody. It's all good. It's not a bat. It's not a bat. It's all good. It's all good. We got a flat roof, everybody. We got a flat roof. And so there's openings within the flat roof. It's all good. It's not going to get, nobody in. Bob back there is going to make sure everything is good. Right, Bob? All right, right. Just get a big net or something out like that, like a big fishing net, and just catch that bad boy. Pursuit. And I just had to say that because I got folk looking around and this, that, and the other. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Pursuit and recovery. Say that. Pursuit and recovery. Pursuit and recovery. That'll speak to you here in just a second. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, he says, please bring the ephod here to me. Please bring the ephod here to me. Please bring the ephod. I've got what is a weighted vest, and Pastor Mike's going to help me out, and I'm going to use my spiritual son Joe here in just a moment, and we'll put the picture of the ephod. Now, the ephod was this priestly garment, everybody. This ephod was this priestly garment worn by the high priest, and whenever the ephod was on, this ephod was so that he could oracularly inquire of God, so he could speak to God, the high priest, on what is God saying. What's God saying? Old Testament, everybody, not New Testament, Old Testament. So he puts on this garment, and this garment's got onyx and jewels and pearls and sapphires, and it's worth, I'm sure, just lots of money, this, that, and the other. And so David tells Elimelech, he says, put the ephod on me. So here it is, Pastor, he puts the ephod on Joe. This is actually Joe's vest, and I told him to bring this because I wanted this with purpose. Because when David puts on this ephod, he puts on the ephod, watch this, so he can hear from God. He wants to hear from God. Now, I wanted Joe to bring a weighted vest because truly when you are petitioning God for God's voice, there's a weight to it. There's two weights, everybody. It's two weights. One is a weight of glory. One is a weight of glory as in don't move. One is a weight of glory. Now, we're a moving people, and we like to move. We like to go. We like for God to say, go, 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 do this, do this, do this. But there are some seasons where God just says, wait. God says, no, don't go, don't do nothing. Don't move. Don't take another step. Don't strategize. Just relax. But here it is. David is at this place where he's hearing from God. And so he's got a weight of glory, that top weight. And then he's got the weight of glory. So he feels this weight from God because he said, I need to hear from God. Everybody, when you get desperate and you need to make a decision, you need to hear. I'm talking to those of you who have a relationship with Jesus. You have to hear from God. When you're making some of the most important decisions of your life, you got to hear from God. When I counsel folk, especially folk that are getting married, one of the first things I ask them, did you hear from God? Is this by faith or by flesh? Which one is it? Because you have to know that this is what God is saying for my life. I don't know about you. I want God in every single decision that I make. I don't want to make a decision, small or big, without hearing from God. So David has the ephod. He he hears from God. Now, he's wearing the ephod because he wants to ask a question. Why? Because timing is critical within the pursuit. Timing is critical. And also this, praise precedes the pursuit. Praise. Praise, right? Giving God glory, giving God authority, giving God power, giving God jurisdiction in every area of my life. Watch this. Very important thing here about the ephod as well is that the ephod in Old Testament really draws a parallel to New Testament in Ephesians 6. Joe, you're okay unless you, well, you know what, you strong. Continue standing. I mean, that's my trainer, so he fine, y'all. Believe you me. He can probably stand up there for the next 8 days at least. Because you're like, Pastor, I don't have no ephod at home. I don't have no ephod at home. So what do I do? Can you take this from, as they would say, from antiquity to modernity? So take this from old school and then bring this new school, because I don't have no ephod at home. So it's not like I can go, you know, Brian told me at the break, he said he got an ephod, it's called his robe. Some of y'all that went over your head, some of y'all that went dead over your head. That's his ephod. Ephesians 6 says this, watch this, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? In heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is good strategy in Ephesians here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That's strategy right there. And so the Ephesians tells us that here it is. This is our weapon right here. This is our sword right here. This is our sword of the Spirit. So Ephesians 6 really speaks of what the ephod is. The ephod of today is really Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is available for everybody in here. Why? Because the veil was torn, everybody. The veil was torn by our Jesus. Amen. The veil was torn. And because that veil was torn, we don't have to offer blood of goats and of lambs and of goats. We don't have to do that any longer. Amen. We are now able to go right before Jesus Christ and present our case on his behalf. Thank you, Minister Joe. Appreciate that, man of God. And he answered him. And so he tells Joe as he takes that vest off, and Joe is David. He tells him, he says, pursue. Somebody say pursue. For you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. So God is saying something clearly to David. He's basically saying, yes, there have been a myriad of raiders who have stolen your stuff. No question. David then inquires of God, and God gives a word from heaven. A word from heaven that any warrior wants to hear. Anybody who knows how to fight, they want to hear God say, pursue. Because now you in my sweet spot. You just told a man that's whooped anything that's ever come in his way, including slayed giants, y'all. You just told this man to go after your stuff, but not only go after your stuff, get everything back. Somebody say, recover all. There's four places of direction, I believe, that are happening here with the direction, because there's direction that he gets from the ephod. Let's transpose that now to the Holy Spirit, because there's strategy that David is seeking. Say strategy. There's strategy, and I'm going to build this thing here as we get a little bit more in the message. Strategy that David is seeking, one is through inquiry. So David is inquiring of God. One of the things that God begins to tell him is about the pursuit. Okay? And then within that pursuit, the Lord begins to tell David about how he's going to need to dismantle. And then not only is he going to need to dismantle, he's going to need to distribute. Now, here's why that's important. Because in the pursuit of what has been stolen from you, it's not just for you. A part of why it's been stolen from you is to weaken you. But it's not just about you, it's about people around you. Oh my gosh. Because the devil is so crafty, you all. He will drop something on you to mess everybody in your household up. Come on, y'all. It's not just a personal attack. This is an attack about the whole family. Lord knows. I'm speaking from a place of experiencing when there's an attack that comes on you personally. This thing is bigger than you personally. This thing will come in your life, man, to try to weaken everything around you. This thing will come in your life to have people around you all of a sudden begin to question God. Am I talking to anybody that still got about 4 or 5 unsaved friends? Now, y'all, shucks. If ain't nobody in this church got unsaved friends, I'm in the wrong church. Everybody in here should have some unsaved friends. How else can you witness if you ain't got no unsaved friends? I ain't say you have a lunch with them, but you ought to have some friends in your life who don't know Jesus. And one of the first things that unsaved friends question is when calamity happens in your life. Oh, well, I thought that didn't happen to people that do what you do. Ain't you close to Jesus? So how can something like that happen? David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. That'll come back here in a minute. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate. And they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. They found one of the guys who was with the crew who had stolen the stuff. They found him hanging out. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He hasn't eaten anything for 3 days and 3 nights. David then asked him, he says, to whom do you belong and where are you from? He said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I got sick. We made an invasion of southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. Now, ain't that something? Here it is. The enemy's telling on himself. He don't know who he done came across. David just happened to find him. Somebody say timing. Timing of God is so powerful. Being in the right place, in the right season, in the right time. I don't believe in accident. I sure enough don't believe in luck. I am anti. Don't you tell me, oh, you got lucky and that's luck. I don't believe in no luck. I believe in destiny. I believe in purpose. I believe in being in the right season. That would be like somebody telling me you got lucky marrying that girl. I ain't get lucky marrying my wife. I courted her just like any other good man will court a woman that they're interested in marrying. But it wasn't luck. It was about the timing of God. The timing of us getting together was the perfect apropos time that God had for us to come together. Why? Because God will allow certain things to happen in your life, especially when it becomes the mates. You'll have certain stuff happen in your life, just like she has certain stuff happen in her life before we got together. I had certain stuff happen in my life before we got together. But then the timing of us getting together, everybody, right? The timing of us getting together was perfect for that season and that time. I'm telling you all this to say that David's inquiry was a setup for that young man being available. He didn't just happen to run into him on the road. Is anybody getting this? God had set that thing up from the beginning. If David would have ran out, he would have never run into this man. Why is it so important that he ran into the enemy on the road? Because it was the same man who told him where the stuff was. Because this man, come here, Brian. This man, he's sick, everybody. He's weak. He's tired. He ain't ate nothing for 3 days and three nights. David comes upon, now he ain't no joker, but I'm going to call him a joker. David comes upon this joke. He got 400 men with him.
They all behind.
400 of him. He comes upon this man. You better believe this man is looking like, what in the world? He begins to tell on himself. I'm telling the devil to tell. He's so ignorant, he'll tell on himself. Believe you me. He will tell on. He told David, he don't know. This is one of the servants. He don't know whose town they just raided and took all their stuff. He tells David, oh, we went over to Ziklag. We burned that place down. David like, oh, is that right? Oh, okay. He tells this man, he says, tell me where. I hope y'all, I love the boldness of David, man. I love it. David looks at this boy, he says, tell me where my stuff at. Tell me where y'all done hid my stuff. The boy tells him, he says, all right, now, if you promise not to kill me, I'll tell you. He tells David where the stuff is. Thank you, Brian. He tells David where the stuff is. Watch this, everybody. Watch this. Let me get back to scripture. I want to break this down for you. Watch this. David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing. I'll be doggone if the enemy is going to eat, drink, and dance over my stuff. Is anybody getting this? I'll be doggone if the enemy is just going to have a ball with my money. The stuff I done worked hard for, I done spent all my, I'll be doggone if the enemy is just going to have a ball with my kids. I done prayed over my kids. I done labored over my kids. I done wept over my kids. I've been crying. I've been snot. I'll be doggone if the drug house, the crack house, the outhouse, the prison house, they're not going to have my kids. No way. No. They're not going to laugh. Is anybody getting this morning? That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen on my watch. That's not going to happen. As long as God puts breath in my body, I am going to pray over my kids. I'm going to warfare over my kids. I'm going to labor over my kids. He is not going to steal what belongs to me. Why is this boy that they having a party? They drinking, dancing. Why? Because of all the great spoil. They don't realize that God is on the hunt. Ooh, I'm trying to tell somebody. God is on the hunt, everybody. God is on the hunt. That's why things are getting a little choppy in your life. You're getting closer. You're getting closer. Receive it if you need to. You're getting closer. That's why you're going through a little bit of hell right now. You're getting closer. You're getting closer to getting that stuff back. You're getting closer. God's setting this thing up. So here it is. The enemy is so ignorant. Rather than protecting the stuff that they're stolen, they're gloating over what they've stolen. And that is the perfect setup for David, because David catches them with their pants down. Wow. Here's what's so important. Man, help me, Holy Ghost. I started this message out by telling you that one of the things about team, say team. It's so important about team. I'm a team guy. Been on teams literally all my life, sports teams, and now church, business, the whole nine. And the one beautiful thing about team, let's go to sports. And it's a pretty big day. I know it is. Pittsburgh plays Cleveland today, right? Right? The brawl for it all. The big brawl, the last game, right? The big brawl that happened the last game, right? Helmets is flying, you know what I'm saying? And Myles Garrett hitting folk upside the head, and Rudolph, and he had his part in the whole thing too. He not innocent. But the whole thing, and so now the brawl for it all right now, right? Oh, my God. I can only imagine what it's like right now at Steelers Stadium. They probably fighting in the parking lot. Oh, No. I'm dead serious. They fighting in the parking lot. They're fighting in the parking lot, right? Somebody just got arrested at Steelers. I'm telling you, because folk are nuts. Folk are nuts, and they've been drinking since about 7 o'clock this morning. Why am I giving you all of that? Well, because I'm giving you that because you got to have a strategy. And God will give you a strategy. I'm telling you, man, fighting the enemy is much like a playbook. It's much like a playbook, and there's no question what they're doing right now. You know, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I'll stay on that game. Pittsburgh and Cleveland have prepared all week, and they just played each other. You know, Cleveland won the game, and so now what they're doing is they're looking at, watch this. So then on Pittsburgh's end, Pittsburgh's looking at what they didn't do well, okay? And so they're trying to capitalize on the weaknesses of Cleveland. And Cleveland is going to try to capitalize on the weaknesses of Pittsburgh. But what happens is that, hear me, everybody, don't miss this, is that you've got to know your enemy's weaknesses. You can't fight him on his playing field. Ooh! You can't fight him on his playing field. You got to fight him on your playing field. You got to lure him in to where you. Why? Because the devil's got. I just came up with seven. I mean, there's probably 7,000, but I came up with seven obvious weaknesses that the enemy has. One is truth. One is truth. One is truth. Another one is love. Now you know, because you know he's a liar. I can spend time on every one of these. You know he's a liar. So it's truth. Truth hurts the enemy. Love, hope, righteousness, dignity, honor, and this big one called Holy Spirit. You got to fight the enemy with this, you all. You got to fight him with truth. And these seven are all contained right here, everybody. You cannot fight the enemy outside of this. This is your sword of truth. This is your sword of faith. This is the power, this is the authority that you need to fight the enemy. And so you've got to have, somebody say strategy. Where's my slide with X's and O's? Well, my X's and O's. You know, there it is. I mean, it's just like that. It literally is. It's like that. Now that's, you know, for those of you who are into football and stuff like that, that's just kind of like, you know, what they do to strategize as far as game plans are concerned. And the ultimate goal for an offense is to score a touchdown. The ultimate goal for the defense, what is the prevent a touchdown from happening. And the bottom line is that we score a touchdown every time a believer gets saved. Every time a non-believer gets saved. I'm going to get that bird saved before we get out of here. I'm going to get that bird saved. every time a non-believer gets saved, that's a touchdown for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together if you would right quick. So then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Look, can I wait on that, y'all? Okay, wait. David attacked them from twilight. What time is twilight? Crack of dawn. Until evening the next day. Is anybody getting this? David started to fight when the sun came up. He said, as soon as we can see them, we dealing with them. And they whooped on them until evening of the next day. That's not a fight that you want to be in unless you're on the Lord's side. Amen. The Bible says, not a man of them escaped except 400 of them who rode on camels and fled. Watch this. So they went out to meet David and the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Watch this. Verse 22. Oh, no. Let me go back. I'm going to go back to verse 18. Yeah, there we go. I'm gonna give you 17, and then I'm gonna go to 18. Are y'all getting something this morning? So David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Watch this. So David recovered all. Somebody say all that had been carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. Again, the Bible says, David recovered all. Somebody say all. Then David took all the flocks and herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, I love this. He said, this is David's spoil. So he took all his stuff back and he let his troops and he let any troop that was yet still around, because remember, they had slaughtered everybody except for the 400 who fled. But he made sure to let his men know, this is my stuff. This is my stuff that was stolen. This is my stuff that belonged to me. This is David's spoil. This ain't the enemy stuff. This is my stuff. And anything that's been stolen from me, I want it back. You got to get an attitude like anything that's been stolen from you, from your household, from you emotionally, from you mentally, from you spiritually, certainly from you financially. If there's been something stolen from you in your family, if the Lord has stolen marriage from you, if you're going through some things in life, you say, anything that the devil has stolen from me, I want it back. As we get ready to close, watch this. In verse 21, we get to hear, and David comes upon, remember, 200 of them, they didn't go. 200 of the men, the Bible says they were so weary, they couldn't even go. And so those 200 men, they just stayed behind. Now, if you read deeply within this particular text, you'll find that many of these 200 men were seasoned men. So these were men whom had fought with David on previous times, but they didn't make it to this next fight. So wouldn't you know it, here it is, the guys that David are with, they begin to basically talk stuff, and they say, well, listen, man, if those guys didn't go, then they don't get none of the stuff. Listen, they didn't go. They don't deserve any of the spoils. Because watch this. They said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. Before I give you that in the next scripture, I'm going to go backward. Just 1 second. I want you to see this. In verse 22, it says this. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said that. Wait a minute. Wait. All the wicked and worthless men who went with David then told David, don't give the 200 anything because they didn't go. Of course, David says, no. This is about team. Say team. This is about team. No, we all get to eat. We all eating. But here's what leaped out at me in this text. Wicked and worthless men help David get back his stuff. What dawned on me is that sometimes there's still people around you that ain't no good. But God has still used them to help. Did anybody get that? Sometimes there's people around you that don't mean no good, but God will still use them to help you get back your. Oh, man, if don't nobody get that, I'll just shout the glory all by myself. Because only God could use wicked and worthless people to help you get your stuff back. See, we think we got to have, just give me all the saints. Give me all the saints. Give me all the folk, you know what I'm saying, that's just high glory and, oh, yeah, and give me all the folk that's laying on their face and fasting and praying and seeking God. Give me the folk who know 48 scriptures and all of that. Give me all the folk who can show enough tongue talk, this, that, and the other. That's all well and good. It really is. But let me tell you, everybody, God will use anybody. And there's something about people sometimes, too. Ooh, there's something about people that ain't quite yet churched. Oh, my Lord. Oh, don't talk. There's a boldness that's on people that's not quite church yet. See, people that's not quite church yet, oftentimes, you know, sometimes they'll jump to fight. And you're like, well, no. See, because they don't know all the church etiquette. I just got to say, I thought y'all still knock people out every now and then. No, we don't knock anybody out any longer. No, there's still something on us. See, somebody say an edge. There's an edge that you need as a don't lose your edge. Oh my God. Let me talk to somebody over here. Don't lose your edge just because you say. Oh. Lean on somebody and say, I know I'm saved, but I ain't soft. Don't lose your edge. Don't lose that. Don't lose your edge. Don't lose that. You know if you got a little something to you. You know what I'm saying? You got a little neighborhood still left in you. That's all right. It's all. Y'all know I'm trying to be nice now. I'm trying to be nice. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got a little something left in you. It's all right. Let that little something come out of you when it's coming to fighting time. I don't need nobody, stepping on lilies and daisies when it's time to fight. Come on now. When it's time to fight, come on, Brian. I need Brian up here. I need Mike up here. I need Joe. I need Brian. I need Brian. Come on. When it's time to fight, it's time to fight, man. Come on. It's time to fight. Listen, if I'm telling these men of God, listen, man, I need y'all to get over here, man. I need y'all. Listen, man, I got some stuff that's been lost, man. I need you. Listen, I'm going to assign them. It's like a team, everybody. Everybody ain't the quarterback. Everybody can't run the ball. Everybody don't block at the same time. Everybody don't catch the ball at the same time. What? You have an assignment. Do your assignment. Ultimately, we all going to win, though. We all going to get it back. But you got to do your assignment. Because if Brian, which he would, if Brian come, he said, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know. Then I'm gonna say, Brian, I love you. I'm gonna say, Mike Gunn, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's not personal. It's not personal. This is not personal, y'all. This is not personal. This is not personal. This is not personal. And then all of a sudden, if Brian get to a place and Brian Hobart, Brian's a wonderful man, but Brian say, he say, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm just getting tired. And I'm going to say, okay, Brian, okay, you good. I'm going to say, Rob, come on. This my childhood friend. He got edge all over him. I love it. Full of edge. Don't y'all mess with my boy right here. It's my man right here. Don't mess with him. You need people like that in your life. You need people, man. You need men of God that are strong, that are sturdy. Come on, y'all. You need that. You need men that are full of vigor and full of strength, man. You need men in your life, man, that's still giving you that heart. You know what I'm saying? That giving you that look. That hard look. That's all right. You need that. You need that. See that look right there? I'm telling you. I go somewhere with this man, and I'm standing next to him, and he giving that look. You not gonna mess with me. See, sometimes what we've got to learn to have balance. Because what happens too much in the kingdom is folk get saved and they lose their edge. You was fighting like I don't know what. You ain't take no mess before you got saved. Somebody talk about you, talk about your mama, talk about your sister. This, that, you fighting at the drop of a hat. Girl, it's on. Girl, it's on. You know it's on when we leave here. All of a sudden, you get saved. You don't want to fight nobody. You don't want to fight no devil. You don't want to fight no enemy. Don't lose your edge. You got to be able to fight everybody. You got to be able to show enough, throw down a scrap. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Somebody give God some praise in this place as we wind up. I got to give you this. Here's what's so good that David says. David says this here at the end. He says about his stuff. He says this. When the men tell him, they said, nah, well, they can't get our stuff. They don't deserve it because they didn't do nothing. David said this. He said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. I ain't got to say no more. David said, well, actually, everything we got, God gave that back. This ain't about what we took. This is about what God set up for us to get back. For who will heed you in this manner, but as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. Lean on somebody and say, we all eat. We all lead. A win for one person getting their stuff back is a win for the entire church. It's a celebration for the whole church. Somebody's daughter getting saved who has been lost, that's a win for the whole church. Somebody's son who's getting saved who's been lost, that's a win for the entire church. Somebody getting blessed emotionally, financially, spiritually, socially. That's a win for the whole church. Somebody stand on their feet and give God some praise if you would. Come on, let's give God some praise in this place. Listen, if you're in this place, and I know that you are, if you're one of the sons and the daughters, if you're one of the sons and the daughters and you had some stuff stolen from you, I want you to come to this altar right now. You say, Pastor, I've had some stuff stolen from me. Literally have some stuff stolen from me, some hopes, dreams, peace, finances. I've just been attacked. I'm going to need you to switch that into war, because we don't really need to go into a place of just warring and getting these things back on your behalf. One of the important things, I believe, to going into the enemy's camp, taking back what's been stolen from you, is going with a repentant heart. It's going into that place with a repentant heart. So there be sons and daughters on this altar right now that would need to repent of anything. That would be the first thing that you would want to do, because you would want to go before the presence of God in a place of humility and of brokenness. And that's what repentance is about. Repentance is about just turning away, but it's about laying everything before God, just saying, Father God, here it is. I put everything on the altar before you, before your feet, asking for your forgiveness, searching and seeking that you would receive me, God. Here's the beautiful thing. Just as I am. Every man, every woman that are at this altar, just lift your hands. Father God, right now, I'm just praying for these sons and for these daughters that have come to this altar. I'm praying right now with power and authority that any and everything that has been stolen from them, Lord God, that you would give them the strength right now to go into the enemy's camp and take, Lord God, what has been taken from them, Lord God. Charge them emotionally. Charge them mentally. Charge them spiritually, Lord God. There are men and women at this altar who have lost hopes, that have lost dreams, they've lost finances, Lord God. They've lost peace. They've lost sleep. Lord God, I just decree and I declare right now, and I renounce every wicked word, every speech that has been spoken over their lives, every generational curse that has tried to wrap their arms around them right now. We just decree and declare an openness and a freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Altar workers, come forth. Come forth quickly. Altar workers, just begin. Grab a man. Grab a woman. Man with a man, woman with a woman. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray with these men and women of God right now. Thank you. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Come on, begin to pray, 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 pray. We break every stronghold, every shackle. If you're in this place and you're just saying, Pastor, I just need prayer. If you're saying, I just need prayer, Pastor, you're saying, I need prayer, I want you to come to this altar. If you need prayer, come to this altar. We're going to have somebody that's pray with you. We have somebody available to pray with you. Just come to the altar. Say, Pastor, I just need prayer. I got some decisions I'm making. I need some things in my life. Thank you for what you've done within this house today. And Father, I just speak encouragement, strength, and authority to your sons and your daughters today, Lord God. I encourage them to retrieve everything that has been stolen from them, and I empower them to be able to go before your throne, Lord God, and to inquire of you of the timing and of the season of retrieval. Father God, give us a strategy that only comes from heaven. Give us a clear and a keen strategy that comes from heaven, Lord God. We're so thankful in advance for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done, for what he is preparing to do. Listen, I bless you. I love you all. My wife and I both do. We're going to slide over here to my left and greet you here immediately following service. We want to loose love on as many as you as we'll stand in that line. And again, but we thank you and we just love you so, so much. God has so, so much in store for each of you. Amen. Amen. Just lift your hands all over the building as we get ready to speak the blessing. Honey, is there anything before I speak the blessing? We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody stand on it and say, it's my best season. You got 30 days for a turnaround. Anybody who needs that, you got 30 days for God to make it good, both in the spirit and in the natural. Somebody say, I receive that. Bless you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, certainly financially. Tell you each and every week, God's given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Along the way, we're going to be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that we do what?